Chicago on September 6th, and then in Bayshore, New York on September 17th. You can go to our website at democracynow.org for the screenings and the Q&A afterwards. I'm Amy Goodman. This is another edition of Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Hi, this is Al McFarlane, host of The Conversation with Al McFarlane. You're listening to 90.3 FM, KFAI, Minneapolis. I'm Al McFarlane. Welcome to The Conversation with Al McFarlane. I'm glad to be here and glad to have you along as well. Special thanks and shout out to all of my KFAI listeners. We appreciate you and what you do in the formation of community. Thanks also to those who check out this program on any of the social media platforms. We're streaming live to Facebook, live to LinkedIn, and live to two YouTube channels, the Insight News YouTube channel, and Black Press USA YouTube channel, the Black Press of America. We enjoy this program, and we enjoy the opportunity to be in conversation with you. And we want to invite you into the conversation. So no matter where you are invited to be a participant in today's program and in future programs. How do you do that? Well, if you're on one of the social media platforms, just go to the comments section and let us know who you are and where you're listening or watching from. And if you want to be on the program, but you can also leave comments about the topic of the day or other topics that are of interest to you. And if you're on the radio, same thing, get a minute, just drop on your phone and go to the Insight YouTube channel and drop a note in the chat. Today's program, like always, is a program that's rich with voices and energy and knowledge, experience, commitment to building community. And I want to bring in the instigator of this program, a dear friend and a person that has maintained a phenomenal vision for building community over the decades that I've known him. And that's Michael Chaney. Michael Chaney, good afternoon, brother. Good to see you once again. How are you?
I'm glad this is radio. I didn't get a chance to comb my hair, so.
Well, you look good on radio because you're also on TV, on social media. So
All right.
Everybody is admiring your hair.
Okay, all right. Well,
And by the way, you know, we've got on our channel the QR code for this show. So if you're on Facebook or on LinkedIn or YouTube and you want to make a comment, just click on the QR code and we'll bring you into the studio, have you join the conversation. Michael, tell us about what's going on in the world today and why we're here today to promote an important event that you've helped curate in North Minneapolis.
Yeah. North Minneapolis is going green. Give us a call and learn what we mean. Where once lie urban blight now sits luscious garden sites, gardens without borders, classrooms without walls, architects of our own destinies, access to food, justice for all. And now, like sweet potato vines, our missions and goals all intertwine, from the educated elite to the foot soldiers in the street, out of these caves to the middle of the stage where we can get people engaged, thus bringing those who've been historically stranded on the sidelines, into the front lines. We're growing good in the neighborhood. Good food, good schools, good youth and families. Education never tasted so good. So for those of your viewers and listeners, Al, that don't know, You know, I have been on the campaign trail for the last 50 years. I'm the founder of the Juneteenth celebration, one of the founders of Juneteenth celebration here in the state of Minnesota back in 1984. When I was approached by Aaron Ibn Pitts from Detroit, Michigan, who come to Minnesota to do why he was a 5K runner and had been doing Juneteenths all across the country. And I had the good fortune of working with him to raise a fundraiser for T.T. Lyle, who was trying to go over to Africa to a World Afrotech Festival over in Nigeria. And so we did a fundraiser, and he approached me. He says, well, I want to do a Juneteenth. I said, well, I'm not into individualism. I said, but if you're willing, artists from the East, i.e. Detroit, meet artists from the West, then I welcome you with open arms and will work diligently to try to help fan those flames. And one of our guests here today that's going to be joining us, Toboda, Kevin Washington, a significant other, his father was one of the original artists who came here to Minnesota and realized that Minnesota had some promise, actually moved here. So Donald Washington came here vis-a-vis Aaron Ibn Pitts, vis-a-vis Juneteenth. So the center of my world for the last 50 years and really trying to advance is really hinged on Juneteenth as our liberation struggle. But, you know, the run for liberation is not a sprint, it is a marathon. And so one form or shape or fashion for the last 50 years, I have been working on Juneteenth. I had the good fortune with you, Al, to be, I'll go out this week on the international stage, mm-hmm. on the World Conference. Maybe you can speak a little bit about that just for our audience in terms of imagining what is it globally? What does equity and inclusion look like?
We'll come back to that, but you're making reference to the 7th World Conference on Eliminating Discrimination and Racism that was held at the Roy Wilkins Institute at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Samuel Myers has convened 7 of these world conferences over the past decade or so, and this one here in Minneapolis. They've been held in Australia and South Africa, other places around the world. And it was a great convening. I had the opportunity to introduce the keynote speaker who made a powerful discussion or presentation on reparations, on what reparations mean and how we should approach that. But that's another topic. I can say, thank you for bringing it up, that we will be streaming that entire conference over the next several weeks and months. We are working in partnership with the university and with Dr. Myers. So look out for that. But let me first ask you to bring in our other two guests today. Both are good friends, powerful and wonderful. I would call them fierce leaders, organizers, champions of community. And I'm always pleased to be in their company, in their presence, and to hear their voice, their analysis, their take on where we are, where we're going, what we must do. But let me have you introduce them since you've invited them to the project that we're going to talk about in a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, again, we're trying to fan the flames, and you know, there's this incredible infrastructure on Broadway. The city has what they call their 2040 comp plan, the creation of cultural corridors. So I've moved forward to frame it as the North Star Urban Farm and Food Corridor. And so some champions that have been, again, as you alluded to, Al, really doing amazing work for many, many years. We have Shamika and the work that she, not only is she an amazing organizer, event planner, but you can't talk about Broadway in this evolution and development and not bring up Shamika Bogan's name. She's on multiple intersections. And so when I approach her about this idea of shoring up NEON and creating our own Black Wall Street, Shamika was one of the first people that I invited to the table. And then Taboda is another, like, again, another, as you're using your language, Al, a fierce advocate for our community, you know, wears not only the hat of being an organizer, event planner, but has even incredible credentials in her leadership around food. And so what better leadership than somebody who's on both sides of the equation, you know? And so I've invited both of these incredible individuals and a number of other ones. This is kind of our coming together. We don't have to be relegated to one Juneteenth a year or one Open Streets. And so thus the dozens. So Shamika, can you talk a little bit about your work and what we have going? And
before you do, let's sit with the name of the event. I think, Michael, you do such a great job of framing things all the time. And I have to tell people that I cannot forget how you described Plymouth Avenue in a way that changed my view of Plymouth Avenue forever. You were starting your gardening projects, and you told me that the vision was that Plymouth Avenue is the Nile River of North Minneapolis. What a powerful, powerful image. The idea that this was the place of regeneration and of permanence of both antiquity and the future, sustainability of life, the cycle of life. And you cast that living image of our community in a place that had been at one level ignored, abandoned, and you keep bringing the life back to it. So I want to say kudos to you, Michael Chaney, for your power of vision and articulation. And that's why I wanted to sit with the name Dozens for this event and then bring Shamika in. So go ahead, talk about the Dozens.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And what you just said, Mr. McFarland, that is exactly how I feel about Elder Chaney. When he brought the vision, I was like, okay, there's this gigantic, you know, collective vision of all of these different people, all these different organizers, some of which I know, some of which I'm getting to know. And it's just really awesome to see all of them come together behind one vision and to create what it is now, the Dozens. And it's more than just, you know, another pop-up shop or more than just another block party or activation. It's truly like a community collaborative effort. And so that vision behind that Black Wall Street and that uplifting of the food businesses and uplifting NEON, which is, you know, NEON's been around for quite some time, but the NEON Collective Kitchens is new in the community. Mm-hmm. And so where this event is taking place is on the Penn Avenue block over by the NEON Collective Kitchens facility and the Capri Theater. And again, that Black Wall Street feel, that community collective vision between the entertainment and the tables and the seating and the different food vendors that are out there and the organizations that are taking a part. It's a collective vision for something that we all know and love in community, but are all able to pour into together to create something amazing. So
awesome. Taboda, jump in.
All right. Well, I'm excited about this opportunity as well. I'm so grateful that Michael included me in and Kevin. He spoke to us about this a few months ago. We were right in the middle of planning an event in June called Love on the Lawn, Lowry. And so we said we will do our best to support. Just send us the info. And so we got the info, and now we're here to support in any capacity that we can. Just to give some history about what I do, I have over 20 years of experience leading economic development initiatives and supporting a variety of community investment initiatives in North Minneapolis and in the Twin Cities metro area, including Rondo. Have been a community organizer for just about as long and working in nonprofit management and commercial revitalization projects. One of my biggest things that I've been actively a part of is around business development and workforce development. So aside from being a chef and being an artist, those are the things that I'm very passionate about. I've owned a restaurant. I've had a few kiosks in different malls, including Midtown Global Market. So when he reached out to me, I felt it was a really good fit because I definitely have a lot of experience in food and also helping with creating events. My most recent event, like I said, was Love on the Lawn Lowry, but I've also been a part of multiple committees such as the Flow Arts Crawl and, you know, Family Day with Minneapolis Urban League. So those are the things that I have been actively a part of over the years. So this was a great fit for both Kevin and I. We really do appreciate and adore Michael, and we're very honored to be a part of this project.
I'm Al McFarland. This is The Conversation with Al McFarland. I'm pleased to be in conversation with my friend Michael Chaney, with Tabota Sion, and with Chamika Bogan. And we're talking about an event coming up pretty soon on West Broadway, and it's called The Dozens. Michael, what does The Dozens mean? Where's the name come from?
Well, you know, everything that I do, Al, really centers, I use the language where art meets ag grows culture. And so the city, again, has this 2040 idea of the creation of cultural corridors. And with the making of Neon, this incredible Taj Mahal, and right next to the Capri, those are all of the inner workings of a entertainment district. If you go over to North Minneapolis or Northeast Minneapolis, you see signs up and down that this is a arts district. If you go down on Franklin Avenue, you'll see signs that this is the Native American corridor. And so I, again, The Dozens, again, an artistic expression coming out of the Black community, you know, I would dare say the birthplace of hip hop, you know, but it, again, everything that I do from, you know, Juneteenth really all emanates around art and culture and stages and pages out of our Black history textbook. And so The Dozens and, you know, Do the Right Thing and some of those movies, you know, really informed who I am, my vision of seeing myself almost as a Garveyite, you know, and really the Black Star Line, you know, everything I do, it tries to generate and germinate culture and the growth of our culture and the contributions that we have made as African Americans. What were America, if Disney can create the and monetize around fantasy and create Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Europe, Disney Orient, then clearly we as African Americans, if we were to turn through the pages of history and literature, clearly have ample materials to really generate a cultural corridor, much the same way that, you know, the brother that wrote Fences and August Wilson, you know, again, another mainstay here in Minneapolis and in our story. But Fences and all of the movie, all of the stuff that he did, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. So historically, he put together this incredible literature that really animated and illustrated what we have contributed as African Americans and the lifestyle and the culture that has been become intricately American. Black history is American history. Everything that I do always starts with poetry, the birthing of it. You know, I'm a modern day griot. So here's what birthed The Dozens for me. North Minneapolis is going green. The Dozens, revitalizing our economy, restoring our faith in community, rebuilding our vision of resiliency, designing our own future because we believe in equity and inclusion and cultural competency right on. We're co-creating a food-focused future, a cultural corridor by 2040, our way, putting the color of soul on display. Our way, it's why North Minneapolis is going green, growing gardens and planting trees. Can you dig it? Jump starting the harvesting of unity, Are you with us? Come join us. Come get jazzy with us. The Dozens, Saturday, August 29th, 2026. A red letter day on our main street. Reimagining funky, funky Broadway, our Black Wall Street. It's our future investment. It's time to get busy. So let's put our hearts, our minds, our foot into it. The Dozens, where food meets egg grows culture. So I'm a cultural Pan-Africanist. And again, I look to Bob Marley and John Coltrane and Sun Ra as my inspiration.
Okay. All right. Well, who's nodding behind stage? I see a smile. Is Brother Ambe McKenzie. Brother McKenzie, how you doing? Unmute your mic. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Choose to be well.
Yeah, well, thank you for jumping on. What's your take on this conversation so far?
The Dozens. I've been the partner. We cowboys on horses, me and Brother Cheney here. We're trying to bring our culture back to the North Side. And like he said, our culture is universal. Our culture saves communities. Our culture saves humanity. So the Black Star Line was Marcus Garvey and Brother Noble Drew Ali, and they were uplifting fallen humanity. That even brought in birthed Liberia. So our culture isn't just powerful in this country, it's powerful around the world. And to ground it in the state of Minnesota, I'm with that passion and that vision that Brother is bringing to us, supporting it and helping to create the vision. My deal is I'm a cultural responder. I started cultural responding in 2020. I think you were there also at the Juneteenth or on Lake Street during the riots at the Epic Center where everything happened. So our goal was to bring the community together through our cultural celebration. Juneteenth isn't just something Michael made up, it's something that he carried on like a torch for our community. So for us to bring it to South Minneapolis, that's when you guys are hearing, that was the first time in history we had a multicultural Juneteenth hosted by African Americans in the state of Minnesota outside of the North Side, which brought peace back to a devastated area. So with our culture being in the lead as such, I'm looking forward to bringing the Dozens to Broadway, North Minneapolis, and enhancing our culture so we can continue to provide the service we do in our community.
Shout out to Sean Lewis, who just dropped a Facebook message in, says he's watching the event from the Neon Collective Kitchen right now. And isn't that cool that we are having this conversation about it and people are picking up on the conversation and joining the conversation? Everybody knows Sean Lewis, and everybody appreciates his ability to knit things together in the community. He's kind of like a blanket that covers and insulates, in a sense, insinuates all of us into each other. So Sean Lewis, thank you for watching. And then Cindy Booker, thank you as well. Cool stuff. I agree. This is cool stuff. And what we're doing is cool stuff. So I want to, again, invite people listening. Also, let me shout out Siobhan. Siobhan, thank you as well for your watching and listening and your involvement. Any of you guys want to jump in, just go to the QR code at the top of the page and click on, and we'll bring you into the studio, into the live program as well. But, you know, what you can do is like the program, make a comment, and share it. Our goal is to grow our subscribers to the Insight News YouTube channel. So if you're on the Insight News YouTube channel or Facebook, go over to the Insight News YouTube channel and subscribe, like, help us grow our audience on this platform, on these platforms. What I want to do is, I love getting personal stories. And, you know, Shamika, let me start with you, because you've got your hands in just, you are embracing the entire community, and you embrace the entire state. And I would say, Shamika, from my witnessing vantage point, you embrace humanity in a way that is filled with a spirit of positivity, of possibility, of dignity, of respect, and of indomitableness, whatever that is. I'm making words up. It's okay. But I'm saying that this is something that is in you and that is you. Tell people about you, your story, and how you come to where you are, and mm-hmm. whose shoulders you stand on. How do you get to be the Shamika that you are?
Oh, that's a heavy question. Yes, it is. Thank you for all of those things. And I don't take that lightly. It's a big responsibility, but it's the truth. You know, for me, there are so many people that came before me that do different versions, have the same vision for different stuff, and have been like blazing the trail so that I can do the things I want to do. And so, I mean, there are like countless people. I feel like I can't even begin to like name them, but there are a lot of folks. For me, community and like how all of this works together is there's all of these different bits and pieces that work together. You know, it's like it's one body and it's all these different parts. So mm-hmm. you have things, you know, some people know me in my government role. Some people know me in my community role. Some people know me, you know, in the faith-based community. It's all of these different sectors of our community that help create our community and our ecosystem for what we need, whether it's spiritually, whether it's from and with the government, whether it's from and with community and like our culture and just the things that help make us us. So raising our families, all of those different things. And so it's an honor to come together with a collective such as this one that's really rooted in culture. That just like makes my heart happy. But just like a snapshot of my story, mm-hmm. You know, my day job, I work in government. So I work at the Capitol and I try to make a difference in people's lives there with, you know, assisting folks and really like understanding our government and understanding policy. It's one thing with like creating policy, and that's great, but there's a lot of people that don't always like understand where you even start with that. And so that's a part of why I love my role and my job, because I'm really able to help people understand things on like a grassroots level that's really kind of in that big time level of like making it happen in the Capitol. And then
you're the cruise missile for the great Bobby Joe Champion,
yes,
of Minnesota Senate. Talk about that. I mean, how challenging and exciting and fulfilling is it to be?
It is all of that.
At the crest of history, everything that Bobby is doing and mm-hmm. that you are doing is history yeah. making.
Yes, and no.
You're breaking new territory every day. Talk
it
about that.
It is. So I have been there for coming up on 7 years, and it is absolutely a blessing. It is a very rewarding yet challenging thing, because when you navigate in community and you navigate in culture, it's one thing. When you navigate in spaces and places that you are not necessarily like uncomfortable, but where you are not like, you're not the majority in that mm-hmm. way. Everybody mm-hmm. is not like you. You're constantly pushing against everything that everybody else thinks to say, oh mm-hmm. no, this is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And this is like a plug, not just because he is my boss and my friend, but when I tell you that he is someone that really fights for us behind closed doors, mm-hmm. that is really amazing to see and to learn from. Before being in my role, I didn't quite understand that is how complex and nuanced a lot of these things are. But it's a big deal to make sure that there are people that know what's important to the residents in the community and truly will fight for that both in front of you and behind your back. That is a big deal. And so that's been really awesome to learn from. Additionally, with that, it's been a really cool place for me to be.
Let me jump in here just to make a connection, because you talked about the importance of your role and Senator Bobby Champion's role. Mm-hmm. And that leads me back to Brother McKenzie's statement about who we are and what our role is, what our mission yeah. is in community and in the world. So you are saying and demonstrating in proof of the fact that leadership not only means speaking to and from within our sensibility, mm-hmm. but speaking through the power of that and the transformative power of our experience and our presence for humanity. And yes. I think that that is an alignment, right, of what you're saying, Brother Ambi, that wherever we are, wherever we show up, we bring the new life, the regenerative spirit, the spirit of adding, not the spirit of subtracting, the spirit of multiplying, not the spirit of dividing. And you are doing that, and that you are doing with Senator Champion and the other members of the Black Legislative Caucus is marvelous, because you're there not apologizing for being Black, but bringing your full Blackness into the enrichment of everybody in the community, in society, in the state. I think that's a powerful thing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It is. And everyone, you know, that's how we grow as a community, and just in things, that's how you grow, by learning from other people. And so to be able to like bring that in your full authentic self, and people learn from that, and you learn from other people as well, it's a really awesome thing when you look at the full picture of it. But when you're in it, sometimes it can be uncomfortable. You know, it's not the world's most comfortable place to be, but it is really awesome. And just talking about making history, he was the first person of color, like in general. When we talk about Black, great. When you talk about like people of color, that's another layer of it, because that means there was not a person of Asian descent. There was not a person of Hispanic descent. He was not only the first Black, but also the first person of color to preside over a legislative body. Mm-hmm. And so that is a big deal. I'm the first person of color to hold my role. And so it is a really big deal, and it is a win for us as a community, not just me personally. Again, I don't take that lightly, because it really is making history. And so when we hear about all these great projects or these things that happen, it is because people are pushing and pulling and pushing and pulling and advocating. When we, when I hear people talk about things such as like restore the vote, people are very excited that that passed. But when you hear like the history of it, it just puts into like the spectrum of like how massive that is. Like that bill took, I think they said, 21 years, if I'm not mistaken, like 21 or 22 years to pass it. Imagine like that seed being sown, and you're working all of these different years, all of these different terms, people come and people go to get something that's so important to so many people across the finish line. And for me, that is like a really heavy weight. And but it is an honor to be able to help with those things in sowing seeds for the next generation of people. But how you mentioned, Mr. McFarland, like who's paved the way for me, and thinking about the seeds that they sowed that they may not even be here to see come to fruition now.
Well, I interrupted you because you're going to say more about your own personal background, and tell me more about that. You know, so the way I put it in the colloquial sense is, who's your people?
Yes. And so I know a lot of people are like, okay, tell me all the things you do. So I have my own organization. It's called Strong Roots. We focus on like community partnerships and event planning and organizing and being in community and that sort of thing. And so I love, like I said, I keep going back to loving the collaboration that's going on here, because that is what Strong Roots' mission is. It is, who can we partner with? What can we do? How can we, you know, meet amazing new people that have this vision and are doing stuff? And how can we work with people such as Elder Cheney, or such as Tabota, or such as Ambe, to bring these things to life, but all of us to be able to do our little part to lighten the load just a little bit more.
Awesome. Awesome. So your family genealogy, tell me who, you know, where'd you come from?
Oh, yes. So I actually grew up in Alabama. So I was born in Minnesota, but I actually grew up in Alabama. So everybody laughs at me because I say I'm from Alabama, because I have Southern roots. But my family, it's very interesting, because when I really talk about like the history of my family, my grandfather worked at North Point back when it was Pilot City, and retired from there. And then him and my grandmother moved to the South.
What were their names? Say their names.
Yep. So his name is Leonard Franklin.
Okay.
But retired from there. Grandmother was Betty Franklin, moved to the South, grew up down South. And then I moved back to Minnesota right after high school and came back and was instantly drawn to the North Side. When I lived here before, I was not a North Sider. but was instantly drawn to the north side and felt like it was home, and came back and felt like I needed to jump in and make a difference and do cool stuff for the community.
Okay, all right. Yeah, somebody has to mute. Go ahead. Tabota, let me ask you the same question and take some time and talk about you, your story. And you know, the idea is kind of how your work formed in you, what poured into you through your mom and your mom's mom and your mom's mom, your dad and his lineage, and all the communities that pour into the human being that you are, and how it shows up, how it guides you moment by moment, day by day, and in setting goals and in achieving those goals. And before you start, I want to say to everybody on the call that I'm going to end the program in, say, in the last 5 minutes or so. I want you to think about it, because I want to throw a proposition out, proposal out. And I'm going to say that today is like August 18th, 2026. I'm going to say to you in a few minutes, let's transport ourselves with our imagination, with our power, with our spirit. And the day now becomes August 18th, 2126. The day is August 18th, 2126, 100 years from now. And I'm interviewing you because we can all say we won. Michael, we won. Tabota, we won. Jamaica, all the work, the culture, the family, the history, the legacy, we won. So what does that look like? What does winning look like to you? What will the world that we have created look like on August 18th, 2021? 26. So think about it. Tabota, go ahead.
Okay. So asking me where my beginnings are is kind of a loaded question. We could be here all day, but I will try to make a snippet version.
Take your time.
Well, you know, I'm from, you know, South Minneapolis originally, but I was adopted by the north side of Minneapolis at the age of 16 when I became pregnant with my first child. And from then on, I just realized that North Minneapolis was my kind of community, because it included all the people that looked like me and had conversations that were a lot like my own and the things that I was concerned with. My timeline of, you know, becoming like a single mother really shaped who I am as a woman of the age of 54 years old in December. A lot of my humble beginnings was being served by people that look like us. And, you know, first and foremost, my first home was across the street from Sabathany. And Sabathany was the place in which I raised my children. They had the food shelf there. They had the clothing shelf. They even had a pay phone right across from the information desk that I spent a lot of time on my young days. And it was a safe place for me when I needed a place to run away from my then abusive partner. And the STRIDE program that was within that institution helped me get my first job. And those institutions really supported me. And so therefore I started to identify opportunities for myself where I could give back. My first nonprofit job that I held was in North Minneapolis at Summit Academy OIC. I started supporting the workforce development program for individuals who were recently coming out of prison, first-time offenders, individuals who may have started their new career path. And that was where I got my humble beginnings as an advisor. Before that, I was an advisor in real estate development work. And I got there in a very unique way, but I was really glad to actually start that work at Summit Academy. And from then on, I really started sinking my teeth in more of the community development work all around the North Minneapolis community. I showed up to all of the community meetings. I sat a part of the discussion. I voted where there needed to be a vote. I signed petitions where they needed to be signed because I had children that I was raising in that community. And I felt it was very important for me to be a part of that thread. I, like Shamika, have a very unique way of being able to explain the hard details to individuals who ordinarily don't understand. And so that's one of the things I've always been proud of, is being an orator and an auditor of what's happening in the room, and then going back and bringing it to various leaders or people who are wanting to become rising leaders in the community, and empowering them with information so that they could be effective in whatever that they were interested in fighting for or being a part of. And so that's a lot of my humble beginnings with that. Also, while working with Minneapolis Urban League, I started the ambassador program again for the civil rights program. As we know, Minneapolis Urban League has been very pivotal in the civil rights industry, but there was a timeline where there was a little bit of a lag due to priorities towards workforce development. So I just utilize that, my ambassadorship, as a means in which to reconnect people to the civil rights department within the city of Minneapolis, and then moved on to becoming a fifth ward civil rights commissioner for North Minneapolis. And then moving forward, I started to, you know, really support other endeavors, such as developing the Worth Co-op, helping along with the Juxtaposition Artists Cooperative Law for Adults. I am an artist myself, so I was serving as a liaison there for 4 years. I had an artist studio there, and there I helped organize and bring in a lot of key players, such as Devonna Pittman and Kenna Cotman, Jamez Staples. He's one of my fellows, with African-American Leadership Forum. We're both a part of the Josie R. Johnson Leadership Academy. We were a part of the first cohort, and I'm proud to say that I've been still supporting that organization as an alumni. So we, like I said, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. I just continuously stay involved and stay active, and not only as a parent, but as a concerned citizen for the community, and more importantly for our, you know, our Black folks. I'll stop there because I have so many more things to say. Do you have another question for me?
That's awesome. We'll come back. I want to pass the microphone around a little bit. I want to shout out, though, Hazel Sloan for watching and for her heart, and also Brother Anura C. Asar. Also shout out to Peace Shante. And I have an extra smile on my face because my cousin Marla Dickinson has monitored the program from Kansas City. So Marla, thank you so much, and thank you for the heart, and can't wait till we have Marla and I are going to organize a family chat, a family Zoom call once a month to try to pull all the McFarland clan from around the world together. So we're thinking, and I'm saying it out loud just to commit us to it, you know. So Marla, thank you, and love you so much. Michael, let me bring you back in with this to reset and recenter on the Dozens event. And then I want Brother Ambe to take the same sort of narrative story about who you are, where you've come from, whose shoulders you stand on. But Michael, bring us back to the point of the conversation today.
Well, again, we're gathered here to gather today as a community to support the beloved community. and to really, to your challenge at the end of the show, what does our future look like? I'm an advocate in using the language that we are a food-focused future. If Nicollet Avenue can have Eat Street, if Lowry Central Avenue from Lowry going forward can have all the multiple restaurants that they have there, that if in St. Paul you can have in St. Paul, amongst the Asian community, you can have a food corridor, then clearly, again, we, if we come together collectively, if we work together as one vision, one accord, you know, in terms of how do we come together as the diaspora to really bring our community together, I turn to Harold Belafonte. Harold Belafonte had this incredible song. There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza. Mm. There's a hole in the bucket. Then fix it, dear Henry, then fix it. With what should I fix it? How can we become crabs, not pulling each other down into the bucket, but crabs that are pulling each other out of the bucket? And so often, as one of the founders of Juneteenth, I have people ask, well, what about Juneteenth? Why can't it be the Juneteenth that you started back, you know, over there at Theodore Worth Park, where there was tens of thousands of people in attendance? Well, because we become splintered and we've kind of lost sight of our unification. And so this is the olive branch, another device. How do we support this incredible infrastructure at the corner of Broadway and Oliver there that has the potential to really be the driving force that can really reseat and that vision of 20 of a Black Wall Street? And so we can't just sit back apathetically, passively, and watch its success or failure. I believe that we are all hold shares in the future of the world, and that if we come together in humility and in good conscience, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So the dozens is that effort to us to come together as community, debunk the myth that you're taking your life in your hands if you come to North Minneapolis, because if we don't take on that struggle, forget whatever grievances and individuals might have, you know, any petty arguments that we might have had that we can't even remember what was the source of the issue. But in business, how do we grow business? How do we use regenerative agriculture and the going green, the new Green Deal, to really advance our collective agenda? And these are champions who share that humility and passion for and love for the beloved village, metaphorically Broadway, our Black Wall Street. The dozens on Saturday, August 29th.
Ambi, take it from there. I'm going to stop off for a second, but you and Cheney go back. But Ambi, you go first, okay? Go ahead.
Okay. I'm Brother Ambi McKenzie. I've been in North Minneapolis for about 45 years. Moved into the Olsen Projects when I was a kid with my mother. We pretty much know from north to south St. Paul everybody. As a juvenile, I ended up at the City Inc., South Minneapolis, ended up with Sharif McAfee and the whole little rundown back then, Spike Moss. We were brought into United for Peace through our school system. Minneapolis decided to put these guys in our schools. They were like the first ambassador group. So it gave me an internal experience that I couldn't shake, and it built me to be who I am today, I believe, because I lost my brother in that experience. And he was a youth at the school with me. They were kind of sent off on some things that got him life, you know, loss of Officer Hall, South Minneapolis. So from then, I've been struggling to rebuild what I seen collapse as a youth when I was a youth. And I've seen this same continuous pattern in our community. So what that was a skill set lack. We were giving a lot of tools, but I wasn't given the tool to be a parent. I wasn't given a tool to stay at work. I wasn't given a tool for credit or housing. So a lot of these things that I seen I lacked as a juvenile, I worked my whole life to build to be able to pass down. The torch wasn't given to me, but I lit one so that I can pass one. And I ended up meeting brothers like Cheney. His brother here is phenomenal. He's in a great inspiration to your life and to your cause. He lights a fire under your cause and gives you the motivation to keep doing it. And he also is a great organizer. And I have some of these same skill sets. So for me, it was like bringing the Garveyite mission back to Minnesota. He's Garvey. I'm Ambe. I'm born a Bay. I'm born a Moor. So I take on the role of Noble Drew Ali. We're going to lead the people to the promised land. We're going to bring a greener culture to Minnesota. But like I was doing, me and Shamika, Bobby, and Michael, we met about greener pastures for Stillwater, Minnesota. That's also for the facility, the correctional facility that they're planning on closing. The decommission hearing will be next month. I plan to be there as well because we brought a plan to help sustain the state and keep it the basket, the food basket of the world, Minnesota, growing food. So we're not just going green, we're going back green. Where you wanted to use Stillwater facility to reimagine what it can be for growing food in the state and reimagine what rehabilitation can be for them to grow food. So with that conversation, we met with the DLC also. They offered us Red Wing, and we were looking at the greenhouses at Stillwater. Our mission was to entwine by this time period to have a deal with the DLC so that some of that vegetation would be coming to the dozens now. But we're still pushing on that as we speak. So that's what the decommission hearing is going to be. So I would like to speak to also like the ills in our community that Mike was speaking to. We had all these fights. We don't know which direction. We don't know why it started. But one of the things that we're working on through Dedicated Dads with the prisons inside out, if you guys remember, I think it was like last week in George Floyd Square, they had an event, a basketball event that was put together by the brothers from the prison at the ELU from Stillwater. They've been reaching out to the community, trying to get involved. They're also going to try to be in the event for the dozens so that they know they have curriculums for our youth in this community. They've already started their work with the youth in the community and young men and women to get them off the path to going to prison, to get them to join groups like what we're doing at the dozens, to get them to entertain the idea of entrepreneurity at NEON, to get them to see the vision. We believe it takes them to hear someone that went down that road, had one bad day, and it's cost them 34 years of their life, and they're still sitting there. Yeah. So they're fighting for the community as well. With the dozens, we're combining that as one.
You mentioned and described yourself as a Garveyite. How did you become a Garveyite, and what does that mean to you?
Well, for me, I'll give you a little history. I was born in Indiana, and I noticed when I was about 2 years old, I came here in the back of a U-Haul. And when we woke up, we came out the truck. We were in Minneapolis. My uncle had started, he lived in the high rise right there that's still there with the KMOJ radio antenna. Mm-hmm. He was a part of setting up the radio station. That was his apartment where it was done. He named us. So Amoja is KMOJ, was W-O-J, M-O-J in the beginning. Yep. And the state didn't want the W because it went back to the language of where that name came from. So I'm Ambe Anse Orande. It's Imwate Pepekaya, it was Kinyama, it was Owusu, it's Abina, it's Dante, it's Nanika, it's a few more names, Abina. He named us around the circle of Amoja. So I've taken it from there in my life to stay on that path he put me on and bring Amoja to the community, which is unity in the community.
That's awesome, awesome. So I'm going to go to the thing I promised you early on to spend the last few minutes of the program. Having us speculate in vision and articulating what the world might be. But leading into that, I want to say that, you know, one of the things that I noticed when I did the introduction to the keynote speaker at the 7th World Conference is that I didn't really have an opening remark that I thought was sufficient. And so I came back after that experience and just started thinking about how should you, Alan McFarland, open a meeting, and what would it look like if we adopted a process, a system, a protocol for starting and closing meetings, or certainly starting them? And here's what I've got. I'm going to use that to open this last segment, the last few minutes of the program. And so, and I want to get your reaction. You know, Ambe, this is right down your alley from what you're telling me, because it's Afrocentric. But how do we, I say, let me, I'm going to put it on my screen so I can read it. I'm suggesting that when we meet, where we meet, we always begin by invocation of the ancestors and elders. And so before we speak of the present, we have to ground ourselves in the eternal, in the traditions of Kemet and across the African continent. No gathering begins in isolation. We call upon the Medu Netcher, the divine words and the deep cosmic principles to remind us that speech, which is called Medu, M-D-W, carries the power to organize reality and connect the visible with the invisible. So we bow in deep reverence to the ancestors, those who walked before us, whose struggles, intelligence, and sacrifices carved the path upon which we stand today. We honor the elders present in this space, the living vessels of wisdom, of memory, of guidance. We specifically pay homage to the champions of our community and leaders of historic service, such as we mentioned, the Honorable Bobby Joe Champion, whose dedication to justice and civic leadership paved the way and continues to pave the way for generations. So to all the elders and leaders, past, present, we see you, we honor you, and we invite your presence to guide our deliberations. So that's kind of how I'm going to start doing the opening of this show in the future. And I'm going to keep working on that until it is totally inside my spirit and my speech, that it comes effortlessly and genuinely. So with that, let me go to the last part. We've got a couple of minutes, 5 minutes altogether. I said before, I wanted us to transport ourselves to the future. And imagine that today is now August 18th, 2126, and brothers and sisters, we won. We won. The victory is ours. We won. Michael, describe this world.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that time is kind of a misnomer. Past, present, future rhyme. We're standing on the heels of yesterday and stand on the toes of tomorrow. And I want to just include that that's part of the trickery, that poverty, slavery has never ended. Poverty is slavery. And that's why it's incumbent, just as it was for Frederick Douglass, to really advance the upliftment of his people and to become an advocate just out of slavery, to become someone who's renowned and revered to this day. So I say that we look to the future by beginning today, and we stand as one to really craft that food-focused vision that we need to create an economic engine that will support our development in all that we do.
Thank you. Shamika, what are your thoughts?
It's a very deep question, like the rest, but I think that for me, looking 100 years from now, when people talk about our community and they reflect back on like any little impact that I may have had, you know, that phrase that's always out there where they say, you know, Rosa set so Ruby could walk, so Kamala could run. I hope that 100 years from now, they will say, you know, Shamika organized so that I can now lead. That's how I hope that there will be some memories there.
Tabota?
Well, I hope that we will have a celebration of all the cooperatives that have been developed along the way, multiple connections of you know, urban farming communities getting together to build grocery stores. I'm looking forward to multiple housing development projects that have affordable housing for all ages. I'm looking forward to seeing school systems having books that have stories that are built around our history and our present timeline. I'm looking forward to us coming together and building wealth above and beyond where we're at today, that it becomes sustainable. And I'm looking forward to really seeing more opportunity for us to gather, have gathering spaces where people look like us and it's owned by us.
Brother Ambe.
First, I would like to say to you, thank you for that honorable message from Mott, from the times, and for the ancestors' blessings. That is the grounding that I believe in. That is exactly where we left off this weekend at the Garden. We had an incident that gave us an example of exactly what you said. You have to open in the correct manner. First, honor your elders, and then honor the Great Spirit. That way your circumference is protected. So that is most honorable right there. And that's the work we're working and do right now that you spoke to, is at the Garden. We're gonna invite Friday is Juma, Saturday is the Sabbath, and Sunday you can have your preacher of your choice, but we're going to rotate prayer at these locations. So we have prayer visible in the community, that you have somewhere you can come honor an ancestor. All of our sacred lands have been destroyed. Only thing sacred we have left is our spirituality to reinvent, because nothing can be taken from us. It's inside of us. We have to call out, like you just did, honor them. They're here now. We call them present. And then honor our great spirits, that we want a cultural corridor, that we want a sovereignty in our green future, that we want economic freedom. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
30 seconds, Michael. You can close it out and make the invitation.
Well, I'll just, again, it begins, the future begins today. Everything that we do today is a dress rehearsal for what